The zeal that I have is for the King of Glory. From homeless to not having nothing, to being nothing, when nobody loved me, when nobody cared for me, when nobody thought I was going to be anything, when my mother and father had forsaken me, he took me up. So you see why I have the zeal for my Lord and my King, to whom I give honor where honor is due. First of all, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life, my all in all. To my wife, Barbara, for the word says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing, and a wife is a crown to her husband. Also give honor to Pastor Thomas. Give honor to the two pastors here that had been all my bearers to me since the first time they met me, that had molded me and shaped me to help me become the man that I am in J-E-S-U-S. Now I'm pouring my heart out to you because I want you to see the Christ in me, not me. I want you to see the God who I serve, who I stand for, who has brought me a mighty, mighty long way. For Christ I live and Christ I die. From the streets of New Orleans, Louisiana, to the envious times of the war tribulants in Vietnam, and even in tribulant places where I didn't even have a chance to go, he had kept me hidden. Oh, you just don't know, family, that I'm bursting out with so much joy. Brother Aaron, I was on the reading my word from 12 o'clock last night until 6:45 this morning when my message was on the same page. Father God, I come to you in the name that's above every name. I ask you to touch each and every one in the sound of my voice, that they leave here not the same, Lord, and that they keep you on their hearts. Now, Father, I ask you to use me in your service. Draw me closer to you, that I decrease and you increase. I give you all the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, family. A weapon forged. Armor made to fight. Family, the enemy starts on the children. And in the name that's above every name, my job in J-E-S-U-S is to equip these little ones for battle. So if it seems to be that I'm rough on them, the devil doesn't fight fair. He's the father of lies, the accuser of the brother, the author of confusion, and the prince of the air. He attacks the little ones first, and my job is to help equip them for spiritual warfare. For spiritual warfare. For spiritual warfare. To be so kind, would you take your swords and turn into Isaiah 54, verse 16, and Ephesians 6. Verse 17. I'm a storyteller as well. I go through motions. I teach, and I use certain type of props when I do things. Okay, man. I promised my pastor that I wasn't gonna scare you all, and I promise Pastor Bob and Pastor Dave as well, I won't scare you as well. But can you imagine, family? Isaiah 54 and 16 says, see, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flames and forges a weapon fit for his work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. You need to read that whole chapter. The blacksmith takes a piece of iron and it's under heat. As it gets hot and hot and hot, he beats it. And then he takes it and he puts it back in the water. Then he heats it again and he forges that weapon designed to fight. It's not an ordinary weapon Christ does with us. He forges us. From the time you come into his life and existence, he starts to make you. Don't you know the word says that you are wonderfully wonderfully made. We see Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, so you can take your stand, so you can take your stand, so you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil or the devil's schemes. Family, he doesn't fight fair. He comes through the one you love. He's on his job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even 365 days of that year. That's his job. That's what he does. He's the enemy. He's the enemy. He's the enemy. Treat him as that. He's the enemy. Spiritual battle, facts. You should know. Marine Corps, before we went to go in type of battle, we was equipped before we got in there. We knew our enemy. There's a cliche we use in Marine Corps that they have us surrounded. They have us surrounded. They have these Marines surrounded. The Marine will say, we got them just where we want them. A, you must know his own weaknesses. B, you must know his own strength. C, you must know the weakness of the enemy. D, you must know the strength of the enemy. To overestimate, to underestimate any of these areas is proven to be vital and could be an error in your spiritual growth. Paul today is talking about the armor of God, but he's going to use a Roman soldier. And the Roman soldiers during that time was a very elite fighting force. They would defeat other soldiers' army and take the best what they had to fit it so it can work for them. But the trick they used to do is this. When they would lose a battle, because they didn't win everything, family. When they lose the battle, they didn't write it in their history books. Made people think that they beat up everybody, but they did lose some of the war. A weapon forged, made to fight. Let us carefully note each piece of the armor mentioned here. Paul is very, very serious in teaching this. He used the armor worn by the Roman soldiers and makes spiritual applications to each one. But Satan fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like truth. But only believers have God's truth, which can defeat Satan's lies. The girdle of truth. Truth here is mentioned here probably refers to the truthfulness as found as in a Christian. Thus, a believer whose life is tainted with deceit and falsehood. False in the very thing which holds the other pieces of the armor together. Properly, soldier attitude. Family, you can't go to fight if you got a hidden agenda. You can't fight if you got a lie that you're still holding on to that you hadn't told Jesus about, or untold sin, or whatever stumbling block that is hindering you as you're going to put on his armor. Because if it's defected in any form or fashion, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Playing football, I made sure that I had my helmet squared away, tight enough. My forearm pads to deliver the blow, to hit you in the kidneys, the ribs, the solar plexus. I practiced and practiced and practiced. Had all the equipment for me to work with. But Paul is going to say the same thing as you going out for your spiritual warfare, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, stands on the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you have to be equipped for the spiritual warfare. And this is why, my beloved family, why I'm so hard on the babies. For they, when they come in to fight, so they're ready to fight, so they equip to fight. Don't you know, family, that we have adults that don't know the word? That can't fight? That's malnutrition. Because when God's opened a heart to get into the word, they let the enemy deceive them. Study to show that self-approved unto God, a workman rightly divided the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's why we babies have to study. The attitude. That's why all pastors, elders, and deacons ask you to clear your mind when you give it to go to pray. So there wouldn't be no hidden things in him that's going to help you fight this fight. Paul is saying, the breastplate is righteousness. This speaks of the righteous act as practice by the believer. The breastplate is which is to protect the heart of the soldier. Thus, unrighteous acts committed by the Christian rob him of the vital protection, expose his spiritual heart to Satan. The breastplate is made to fight. If you notice, the armor of that Roman soldier is girded from here all the way around. So you can't ambush him. You can't sneak him. Years and years of preparation and grueling fighting a war, from snow that probably was on top of their head, even to going to fight in a battle that was conflicted in water. They were prepared. They trained for this type of event. You see, family, you should train in the word of God when you have spare time, because you're going to have to be accountable to that. You're going to have to answer to that, to him, spending it wisely. I'm not here to tear you down. I'm here to build you up, but I'm also here to strengthen you. Somebody needs to. I love both of these pastors with all my heart. And my Lord wouldn't equip me to do what I do. And he's given each and every one of you a spiritual gift to use it for kingdom building. It may not be the same zeal that I have, that he has done with me, or where he has brought me, because I have a reason to. Deacon Aaron said, when somebody asks you today who's your hope is in, your hope should be in Christ Jesus. Even with the faith. A weapon. You're going to keep hearing me say this over and over and over and over. A weapon fit to fight. Piece of coal, family. When you take that piece of coal and you put it here and you press it and you mold it and you shape it and you press it and you mold it and you shape it. Press it, you mold it and you shape it. After it's under the heat and pressure, it becomes a precious diamond. Isn't Jesus worthy than that diamond? He woke you up this morning. He allowed you to see a brand new day, another day among the living. Somebody didn't get up this morning. Somebody didn't see a brand new day. But his grace and mercy allowed you to see another day. Not what you did, not what I did, not what Reverend Moss did, not what Gunny did, not what Coach Bush did. Because my righteousness is filthy rags. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. The Bible said that angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God you serve. See, times you got to speak things into your spirit. You got to encourage yourself. His name is J-E-S-U-S. J-E-S-U-S. Hebrews 10 and 22 say, let us draw near to God with a sin heart in fullness, the showing of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with cleansingness with us from the guilt and having our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 13, verse 9. James 1, 26 and James 4 and 8. 1 John 3, 19 and 21. This little illustration I'm going to do now. The youth downstairs, when we talk, we spend a lot about it. Pastor, this is the way I am. We'll be sitting in the classroom, and the enemy will come in.
What you doing talking? Come on, y'all don't need to be listening to stuff like that. Come on, let's get out of here. Come on, let's go.
Not only does that, he's constantly in there. And sometimes you got to put the enemy in his place. Sometimes you got to put him in his place. Sometimes you got to put him in his place. Sometimes you got to put him in his place. I don't care where you go. You can't stay here. Get out. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I don't care where you go. You ain't coming back in here. Get out. Get out. Get out. Jesus. Jesus. Get out. Sometimes you got to tell him that in your home. Around friends. When it comes to speaking to the enemy, this is the way you talk to him. His job is to kill you. His job is to rob you from your joy. His job is to make you doubt that there is no God. There is no Savior. But great is he that is in me as he is in the world. Can't do you nothing without permission. Can't do you nothing. Nothing without permission. The sandals of the gospel. The Roman soldiers wore sandals which were bound with thongs and instep and ankles. Their shoes were so thick, family, that they had pieces of steel that would come out and also at the bottom of it. In case they were climbing down rocks or sliding down, immediately they would be able to stop. And when they marched with authority to let them know who they were coming to. The same march you should march with Jesus. The same steps. The same attacking mode. You see, family, I'm going to say something today that you may not have heard. I threw bricks at bottles at pastors and deacons. I used to cuss. I had a PhD in cussing, a scholarship. Paul said, I was a blasphemer and a prosecutor, but in all of my ignorance, the Lord poured grace and mercy out on me abundantly. So if he can fix this vessel that wouldn't give him the time of day, that wouldn't call upon him, that would cuss at Bible studies, that would slam doors when my mother would give one, and I would tell her he's a dead God. He can't do this and he can't do that. He can kiss my yes, I did family. But June 6, 1991 at 12:45 p.m. when he started to fix me. You see, this is why I love him so. This is why he's my everything. This is why he's my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Elohim, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the wonderful counselor, the prince of peace, the wheel was anywhere. My Lord and my King and my Savior. My all, my everything. He comes before my wife, my pastor, and everybody. This is why I have the zeal, why I have to put it upon your children, to produce a lot of Reverend Mosses in them. Because their job is to forge a weapon. Forge a weapon fit not to be used by Reverend Morris, but to be used by the Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lords of Lords, to whom they have to answer to. It's all about Christ in them, not them. It's about the God that they serve. His name is Jesus. Jesus. The one that bought me with a price. The one that blood will never, ever lose its power. And when they would fight, they would be prepared for every situation that comes because they would have been equipped to fight. And then they had confidence. 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 Let me share something, family. When I got on the football field, I know I was going to whip the Sam Hill out of you. Nightly, lightly, and politely. Because I knew I was a better man. I didn't care who you put in front of me. They was going to get this whipping. I'm going to stomp you so bad that they're going to look for you in the daylight with a flashlight. So when I got into the Word and found out who really Jesus is and what he had done for somebody like me, that I wouldn't call his name. For me, for you. Everybody's not going to heaven, family. But those that call on him in a pure and righteous heart shall see him. The price has already been paid. Paid in full. Depends on those. You know, the word said in Revelation, I know yesterday, yes, Lord, that the sinners I'm going to be asking the rocks to fall down on me. Hide me from the angry lamb. But the rocks are saying, no hiding place down here. You're going to jump in the water and the water going to spit them out. Ain't no hiding place down here. See, we don't want no rocks in crying out in our place for those kids. Because you see, when y'all are gone to be with the Lord, y'all left us a task. And he left us a task, without question, to fight. When I didn't even know you, he said. When you didn't even know me, but I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. I knew you before you were even born. And I went to Calvary for you. Even while yet we were in sin. This may come to a firm assuring that when they are knowing that they was gonna fight. The confidence of knowing the great doctrine of truth associated with the gospel. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you may have. 1 Peter 3:15. Then you will no longer be tossed as infants back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and craftiness of man in their deceitful scheme. This is why before you do anything, family, you pray. Pray without ceasing. And when the Lord gets you up at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning or during the day, say what Jesus said. Abba, let your will be done, not mine. Let your will be done, not mine. Let your will be done, not mine. The shield of faith. The word shield is used here designed and distinguishedly used for the heavy infantryman. It was a large, blunt object. Now listen to me. It was big to cover his whole body, okay? But it has an overland. I'm talking about little curves on the side in case in case Reverend Mars was playing ball against you and you looking this way, pow! I ambush you. Oh, yeah, I did that, family. I just need to keep telling you I wasn't saved my whole life. I keep reminding you I wasn't saved my whole life. I was a sinner. And I was a general in Satan's army, a brigadier general. I'm trying to make it clear. I was a whole mongrel, lust was my sin. I didn't smoke or drink, but the Bible said all wrongdoing is sin. I was a woman chaser. But isn't it something when God can take the foolish things of the world, the form for the wise, when he can take something that ain't nothing, a weapon. You see, family, your past do not disclose you from being used by the Savior. You see, he don't remind you of what has happened or what did here and what there. That's cast away as far as it is from the east, from the west. He don't come back and he tell you some other things like some mates do or friends. When I'm talking with my wife and we're sharing some things, I'm watching a football game. And that might be the best time she want to come and talk to me. Because you're watching the game. And she comes in. And she stands in front of the television with the remote. Barbara, I'm watching the game. Put the remote down. And you know how they put their hands on their hip. We got to talk. Okay, but can we? Oh, no. And then it head go to moving. And now we're going to talk. What is it? Man wants the picture right there. If it ties to this, they give you the money. You didn't get your head torn into it. Now, when they say they want to talk, man, it's a list. That they want to talk about. And once they finish what they're doing, you think that they finish and then hit it. And another thing, when I ask you to put the groceries up, I ask you to put the groceries up in a certain place. When I ask you to take the trash out, I ask you to take the trash in the living room, bedroom, kitchen, yard, outside, put it in the backpack. So I learned to say, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Now, family, watch where I'm going with this. If I wouldn't be prayed up, if I wouldn't have been prayed up, if I wouldn't have got in my manual, I'd have thought that was the enemy telling me how to do things. Then my voice would have raised up. Your voice would have raised up. My voice would have raised up. Your voice would have raised up. And then we screaming and hollering at each other, nobody else listening. But when we get into this, in the times when he calls you to come, when he calls you to come. Amen, Daddy. Amen. Now, this big old piece of a shield, it was designed for when the soldier would get ready to go and fight. He would take that shield and hold it over here while the bowsman would come and shoot their bow, their arrow. So when the enemy shoot theirs, the back row with the bigger shields would cover and cross them over. They're back, they're reloading. And watch this, family. I'm on time a little bit past it. I don't want to. Watch this, family. They're constantly here to let nothing stand in their way. Christian family, demons. I don't care, not in this place. greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. With authority. With authority. Don't you know Jesus has given you all that authority to cast out strongholds? He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what he says. Not only cause havoc, but to get rid of them. To get rid of them. And then he tells you not only to get rid of them, kill them. Kill them. Kill them. You need to read the word. You need to read the word. Read 1st and 2nd Kings, you would be thinking different. But grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. The doctrine of this in the Word of God strengthens your weak eyes, your defeated ears, and your confused mind. From the attack of the world and the flesh. Satan wants you to doubt God, Jesus, our Savior, and the helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work in us. And that is one of the vital parts of this armor. But family, if you have awe against your sister, your mother, or your brother, and you haven't told the Lord about that, it's like King Saul. It's like King Saul praying and coming back down. See, the Bible said Jesus is omnipresent, that he knows all and he sees all. And whatever happened here on earth is a scandal in heaven. See, some people think he does this.
I'll bring my sister, I'll get her from school.
Some people think he's going to do that. But his eyes never sleep nor slumber. They go to and fro. And then there's no temptation that sees you. No temptation that sees you. But he'll make a way out for you. A weapon forged. Made. To fight. The sword is the word of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Here is the only offensive weapon listed among the various pieces. The sword of the Spirit is definitely the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. This then is the armor of the Christian, is complete, ready to wear. In Ephesians 6:13, once all act, keep that armor on during the entire course of your life. Not relax. The discipline necessary for the constant use for such protection. I'm going to pick on Pastor Bob, Pastor Dave now and then. I'll get with Pastor Bob. But Pastor Dave, we have a thing in common, which is the Marine Corps. And you didn't know when we was going to have inspection. You didn't know when you was all going to have Army Watch. Or you didn't know when you was going to be a point man. And you was always prepared for what had taken place. Pastor Bob has to stay in the word because guess what, family? I don't know if you know about it. He's responsible for you. He's responsible for you. Because God put this shepherd over you. Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul of a congregation collectively and intellectively taking care of their pastor. And he did not exclude the first lady either, because that's the helpmate. So what he tells you comes from God. Obey him. I'm a living testimony. It took 12 years of molding and shaping me, and I was a disobedient child. But somebody kept praying for me, as we pray for our little one. But then you ask your Lord and Savior, the stone that the builders rejected. You ask your Lord and Savior to send help. So he's not going to send the help the way that you wanted to come, even with Pastor. When the Pastor asked for help, see, the Lord shows him the vision. And not only shows him the vision, he shows him pieces of the puzzle of the vision. And when you come on board, you are pieces of the puzzle of his vision. Now watch how deep this family. It says in the book of Ephesians 12, it says some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, to equip God's people for the work of service. See, I made myself available to Christ, not the man. When Pastor Dave asked me years ago to come, he put something on Pastor Bob's heart as well. And let me share this with your family. I traveled with Promise Keepers because of you all. Because of you all. The Bible said, don't forget where all your blessings come from. Because of you all, family. Not Mount Moriah. Not Mount Moriah. Because of you all. Because these two men of God gave me an opportunity that I had been praying for to do his business. And the Lord opened the door. And I was so grateful for that. And then most of all, you loaned me some children. You loaned me some children to look after. I didn't bring them into the world, but when they come down there, they're just like my own. And I'm going to equip them in the name that's above every name. To fight. Because there's a lot of peer pressure out there on them, twice as it is on us. And anyway, the Lord loaned you those children anyway. They ain't yours. They're loaned to you. And they even get deep with you. The breath you breathe don't belong to you. And even get deeper, you're not going to see an armored truck following a hearse to the cemetery. We come in here buck naked. We're going to leave here buck naked. See, one thing Reverend Morris does, he makes it crystal clear. And don't think Pastor don't come and talk to me about how we do things. Because yes, I get talked to too, family. Yes, family, I have someone that talks to me too, how to do things. But the word says, 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, let everything be dear, decent, and in order. And if I didn't have a receiving spirit that came from Jesus Christ, and when I'm being disciplined, see, discipline is not good for those who are reserving it. As you become disciplined, it's not good when you're receiving it. But the Bible said those that have been trained underneath it produces good fruit. And the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. Am I all right, Pastor? Stay in your word. Stay in your word. Stay in your word. This is your manual. Go to the Lord, and then go to your spiritual advisor. Because God will send you in the word, or he'll send the anointed, or you'll have it in a dream. There won't be no excuse that you won't know about it. But you got to ask him, and you have to want to. Okay, some of y'all that went to sleep on me. A weapon forged, an armor made to fight. Made to fight. Made to fight. One out of 400,000 babies is born each year with severe combination inefficiency disease. It's known as SAD. A disease that leaves the child with no body chemistry, defense to fight infection from germs that attack constantly one's body. For such children, life is often shortened and always filled with danger. In a similar manner, the Christian who is not protected by the armor of God is defenseless against the attacks of the flesh, the world, and Satan. Sin, like an infection, it can eat one into its entire life because it has no defense against it. In closing, if you just want to take a man would come and just say, Reverend Morris had $100 real ones up here. All these were real. And you had a choice. The $100 or Christ. The $100, no Christ. The $100, you're not equipped in the fight. Spiritual warfare. The $100, if your children couldn't fight, that you didn't fight with, that you didn't read about, that you let go, that you didn't discipline them when you were supposed to discipline them and teach them to fight in the name of Jesus, pick up the $100. Because that's all you get, that'll be it. So you're going to have a choice later on. To stay where you are or fight. Now that's not just for the children. What about you? Think I wasn't going to let you off easy? Huh? What about you? Are you fighting in your household? Men, are you the priest in your household? Are you treating your wife the way she's supposed to be treated? Are you treating Jesus the way he treated you? He went on the cross. He died for you. He took what you deserve. And you took what he deserved. That $100 mean that a lot to you? Because the Bible says appointed for a man to die, then comes judgment. I'm not talking to the one saved. I'm talking to the ones that may not know him. Or if there's a sin that you're still holding on to and you're still in your comfort zone or you still haven't moved and you're wondering why, the keys to heaven is not working because you put the key in and turn it. Keys is the keys to heaven. What Aaron said today about it, faith unlocks the door. Your faith in Christ Jesus. It's going to be the part that's going to open the door. For whom the Son has set free. It's free indeed. And it says in Jude, only one chapter in Jude. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. Family, you can't even fall by yourself. He's there for you. He's there for you. He's there for you.
Amen.
I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. I'm just a beggar drinking a cold glass of water and sharing it with you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Aaron spoke on this, and I got to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You want the church to grow? Evangelize? And give him his tithes and offerings. You want to grow? You really want it to grow. Evangelize. To give him his tithes and offerings. And this here, don't mean nothing. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because my father is rich in houses and land. Family, try him. I dare you. And there should be a song in your heart. There should be a scripture in your heart that brings you from zero to cloud nine, or as high as you wanted to be in Christ Jesus. Because when you're at your lowest, I have been there as well. I'm blessed to have a little songbird that sings a certain song that I ask for and picks me up and reminds me who died for me. Also have a scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understandings, acknowledging him in all thy ways, and he'll direct your path. I want to thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to be here. You just don't know how y'all have been my flowers, that I had been able to smell the beauty that they bring. When you allowed me to come here and hang around you all, the psalmist said, give me my flowers while yet I may live. Then he said, one single tulip, speak kind words to me. That's what you do for me. That's what you have done for me. Love, y'all gave me love unconditional. It was unmerited favor. And then you not only ushered me to do what I'm supposed to do. The word says, Proverbs 27, 17, it said, do not hold good from those who deserve it. When you have your power to give, do not tell them to come back tomorrow when you have it with you. I wouldn't have been able to do what I do now if it wouldn't be for you all. If it wouldn't be for you all. Not my church. I'm sure how deep it is, and I really want you to understand why I love your children so. Why I love your children so. Why I love your children so. Why I push them so hard. Because it was this shepherd, not knowing that he had opened a door for me to travel, Israel, Madrid, Cairo, Sydney, to go tell a dying world who his Jesus is. God bless your family and thank you.